God? Is it open and receptive? The four types of soil were the rocky soil, the hard soil, the thorny soil, and the good soil. So what was your soil type? So hopefully you've reflected upon that this last week and said, God, how's my heart toward you? How's my heart toward others? How's my heart toward my spouse, my children, my family, my place of work? How's my heart? And hopefully you've cultivated some of that and softened some of that and threw some rocks out of some of that and pulled some thorn brush out of some of that. And hopefully we have a little better soil this week for God to plant into than he had last week available in us. Because we're just daily progression. God doesn't ask us to be perfect right now in an instant. But he does ask that we continue pursuing him and Christ's likeness in our lives, day by day, piece by piece. Maybe it's three steps forward and one step back, but we keep moving forward day by day. So today we're going to talk about simple submission. But before we jump into the word, we're going to talk to God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege and honor, God, to come together openly in public. God, to hear of your word and your direction for our lives, God. We thank you for that privilege, God, that we have here in America. And God, we just ask that you would stir our hearts, stir our minds this morning, Lord God. Father, to be receptive to your word. And God, the seeds that you would plant inside of us, God, that they would take root, that they would be watered and nourished and cared for, Lord God, that they would begin to grow in our lives, God, developing fruit worthy of a harvest of your name, God. Father, we thank you for that. And God, I yield myself to you as a vessel to be poured through today, God, to deliver your word to your people. God, I ask that you would use me, God, as your hands extended, as your words extended to your people, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to jump into the book of James right off the bat, chapter 4, verse 7. Book of James, it's back there towards the end. It's a little tiny book, easy to miss, but it's full of power and awesomeness. So James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we're to submit to God ourselves. So simple submission. We can submit the easy way or the hard way. It can be hands up, I surrender, I'm done. Or we can shoot it out. Which one do you do with God when he calls upon you? When he's coming for you and says, I need you to do this for me. Because I've done both. Sometimes I'm, yes, God, I'm yours. What do you want? Other times, get ready. We're going to shoot it out right here in the street. Or I'm just going to run as fast as hard as I can. You got to come catch me. But the best solution is simple submission. If you've ever planted a garden, the soil can be quite hard in the spring after the winter has sat upon it and compacted the soil. And if you skip a year or two, you get a lot of extra weeds in there and it gets a little harder and crustier. And it's not as easy to till. But let's say it's just been tilled and plowed, and now I want to go plant my plants. You just kind of get one of those little rinky-dink garden shovels and scoop out a hole and put a plant in there. Or you get your hoe and do a nice little drag mark and scatter some seeds along the row. And it's really simple. But do you know that God can get a lot more done in us and with us if we will simply submit to his will? Then all he has to do is come sprinkle some seed and cover it over with a half inch of dirt and wait for the rains to make it grow. Or he can get out the tractor and plow and work us over. And then the harrow maybe. Then maybe a second tilling. How easy are you for God to plant in? Simply submitting is the best that we can do. I want to look up the definition of submission. The action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Does that sound like something we naturally want to do? Anybody honest? No. I'll say no. Many of my teachers from Sunday school and regular school are in this room, and they can say that was not you most of the time. That was not always my nature, but God has formed me into it becoming my nature. So the second part of that definition of submission, the action of presenting a proposal, an application, or other document for consideration or judgment. So submission before God, it's coming before Him saying, here I am. I'm yielding myself, my service to you. What will you have with me? And by the way, while you're at it, will you scrutinize me? Will you judge me? Will you look me over and make sure I'm worthy? Will you just look into my soul, God? Tell me everything that's wrong that I need to fix. King David was excellent at this. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Because he often came before God and submitted himself. Said, I've sinned, I've wronged, do what you will with me. Just whatever it takes to be right with you, God. Not, God, I screwed up, but you know, if it's this easy, I'll accept the punishment, but otherwise I don't want to do it. But David said, here I am, whatever you'll do with me, God. I've sinned, I'm wrong. Do we come before God that yielded? Ready to receive? Sometimes we think, God, that was way too much. That was too much. Sometimes we say, God, that wasn't enough, because we're looking at somebody else and what they got for it. And we judge them. So are you submitted? Do you easily submit? We're going to look at a story about Elijah. Elijah, the young prophet, God sends him to Ahab. Says, tell him it's not going to rain in the land until you say it will. So he's going to the new king of the land to tell him, by my word, I'm seizing up the rain and there will be drought and famine in the land until I speak and rain comes. How many of us would want that position? Mr. Obama, I have a word for you. We're going to shut up the skies in America and it will not rain. And it carries on for 3 years of time or thereabouts. But God then says, Elijah, go into the desert by this brook that I'm going to send you to. And you'll have water to drink, and I've commanded the ravens to bring you food, bread, and meat. So Elijah could have turned in himself and said, well, I just commanded the rain to stop. Can I command my food to come wherever I want to eat it? But knowing his obedience to the Lord, he went and did what the Lord said. And after a time, the drought became so great that his brook dried up. And he said, now go into the city of Zarephath. I've commanded a widow there to take care of you and feed you. So he goes into the city and meets this gal, and she's out gathering sticks by the city gate. And he says, will you grab me a glass of water? And while you're at it, will you bake me some bread? How many of us like asking people to do things for us? I don't like it at all. I'll do it myself. Right? That's our attitude. Come on, be honest. But she says, well, you know, I'm gathering these few sticks to go home. I have a little flour and a little oil left, and I'm going to make a cake for my son and I, then we're going to eat it and die. She's looking to the end of her road. He proclaims the word of the Lord over her, He says, if you go home, you make that cake, but you bring me a piece first. And the oil will not run dry until the rains return, and the flour will not quit pouring into your vessel until the rains return. And so she, in obedience to Elijah, goes back to her home and makes this cake and brings it out to him and serves him. And she goes back, and there's still more oil and still more flour, so her and her family can eat also. A little time goes by, and the boy becomes ill and dies. Now, is this not a slap in the face? I just helped the man of God. I provided. God's providing for me. How could something bad happen to me? Is that not our attitude? I'm doing what God asked me to do. How can something go wrong? We start blaming God, or worse yet, we blame ourselves. Say, what did I do wrong? We start looking on ourselves with condemnation. But the Word tells us there's no condemnation except that which comes from the accuser, Satan. Right? So if you're feeling condemned, it's not from God. It's from Satan. So Elijah goes and prays for the boy, and the boy is revived back to life. So out of this story, we're going to extract a few principles as we read through it. Back in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Verses 1 through 21. We'll read it piece by piece here. In verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elisha the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." So a couple principles we need to look at here. Or go where God asks you to go and say what God asks you to say. God sent him to Ahab. He could have pulled the Jonah and took a left turn when he should have went right. But instead, he went straightway where God told him to go. And he spoke the hard things that God told him to speak. How many of you know that Ahab wants this man dead now because the kingdom he's in control of is now in drought and famine because of the word he spoke? It doesn't always make you popular to speak the word of God, but we have to be obedient. That's part of being that fertile soil that God can plant into, is being obedient and receptive. God, what's your will for me? Verses 2 through 6. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. We have to be willing to change. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut of, well, this worked for me once, and it turned out really good. I did what God said, and rather than keep doing it, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But our knowledge of His will is constantly changing and evolving into where He's moving us today. Because he sees the end from the beginning, but we don't. We see, look at what just happened, and we see our results and what we're getting out of it now. But God says, "Arby, I need to reshape you and refocus you a little bit. That was good for that leg of your journey, but now I need to redirect you. And if I'm not pliable, if I'm not good tillable soil, I get hard and I get set in my ways, and it worked once for me, and by God, it's going to work again, come hell or high water." And you know what? High water just might come before something else happens, because God's going here and I'm going here. Because His will is not my will. I'm conforming to His will, but I often have my plans and they're not His plans. So if I'm not careful, I get caught up in what I want to do and what I feel is right, and I forget to ask God, God, what do You say is right? God, what do You say is the direction for my life today? Because our God is a now God. He's alive, He's well, He's living today. God, what would You have me do today? What do You want from me today? Because He is the same yesterday and today and forever. We're the ones that need to change to align ourselves with His will day by day. Verses 7 through 11. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." Sometimes we have to break our routines. We have to swallow our pride and go ask for help. Go ask for someone to come alongside of us and give us a hand. Elijah could have stayed by his little brook and commanded water to flow again, or waited for the ravens to bring food again. But if we get caught in that place of transition too long, we can lose our nourishment, we can lose our life source, and if we don't move when God says move, we can have a place of famine in our lives. We can have a place of starvation and devastation, a dead space in our lives, rather, where we didn't do anything for the Lord because we stayed in a place too long when God asked us to move. But Elijah, being obedient to the word of God, being simply submissive, he said, "Okay, God, the water's drying up, the birds quit coming, where do You want me to go? I'm at Your leisure." He could have worried about, well, the king still wants me dead. What if he's still pursuing me and hunting me down? But he said, "No, God, what do You want? Push everything else aside. What do You want?" So he sends him to this widow. He had to swallow his pride and say, "Hey, I need a drink of water. I need some bread." But he also knew that the blessing of the Lord was upon him and it would go where he would go. So those around him would be blessed also. That's a good seed to plant in your life, being blessed to be a blessing. Have you planted a blessing in your life? Is it a seed growing in your garden? Do you walk in the blessing of the Lord God Almighty? Because He says that My people will be called the blessed. We should be walking in blessing and prosperity according to God's promises and His word. Verse 12, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." How many of you want to make your last meal for your children and sit there and die? Anyone? No hands raised. That's great. We need to look to the Lord and not to our lack. All she could see was her lack. That's the end of it. We have nothing. We're going to die. Her end result was out of her lack. If she would look to her Lord, she would see the abundance, the provision. Sometimes we suffer because we look at our lack. I was talking with some people once, and I felt the Lord gave me a word for them, and it had to do with finances. And they told me, they said, "You don't understand. We don't make enough money to pay tithes." I said, "You don't understand. You don't make enough money to not pay tithe." Because God says, "I don't care how much you make, but your tithe is 10%. If you make $10, it's a buck. If you make $1 million, it's $100,000. 10% is 10% across the board, according to your increase." Sometimes we look at our lack, and that's our physical need or our physical value, instead of looking to the Lord saying, "God, how can you multiply this into my life? I was raised a tither. I've been paying tithes since I was 5 or 6 years old, maybe 3, I don't know. As young as I can remember getting birthday money and cards, we gave a tithe to the church. And I've seen the blessing of the Lord in my life and my finances time and time again. I could bore you for hours with stories, or encourage you for hours with stories, however you would look at that. But God has provided for me time and time and time again in ways that I can't explain, that if I would have tried to meet my need myself, I would have came up short time and time again. But instead of looking into my hands, I looked into His hands and said, "God, you asked me to do this. I can't make a way possible because it doesn't meet, but you can make a way possible. Will you meet my need, Lord?" And He does. So don't look to your lack. Look to the Lord in your situation. Verses 13 through 16. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So we have to be obedient even when it doesn't make sense. And there's no argument mentioned in Scripture, so I have to believe there was no argument with the woman saying, did you not just hear me? I told you it's the last of my flour and oil. I can't make food for you. I think if there was an argument, it would be written down in Scripture. But she submitted and was obedient and went and made the meal for Elijah first. Sometimes my kids are full of reason, and probably none of your kids are that way, but my kids often ask, "Why? But why? But why? Why does it work that way? Why do we have to do that? Why do we need to clean our room? Why do we need to brush our teeth?" Sometimes we just sit around asking God why all day instead of just submitting ourselves under His authority and His direction and being obedient, because sometimes we just need to learn to submit to someone other than me, myself, and I, because we get too full of ourselves. But this gal just, I believe she fully submitted to Elijah's request, and possibly even had a spark of faith that, well, my God's not working for me, but you say your God can do this, so I'm going to try something I've never tried before, because what I'm doing clearly isn't working. Because in an earlier verse there, she said, according to the word of your God. So I believe at that point they had different gods, because she called Him your God, not my God, our God. It was your God. So I believe she was willing to step out on a limb, and it began to produce a seed of faith. And she got to see the results of that right away. So we need to practice our obedience to God. We need to have faith. And then we get to enjoy the blessing, because the blessing comes after we have obedience and we have faith. So then through the rest of the famine, she got to have enough oil and flour to make bread for her household. That's pretty amazing provision, isn't it? I've had some provisions like that in my life. That were just, this can only be God. I didn't do that, you didn't do that, we didn't do that. That was God. Only God could fulfill that need in our lives. And He does, and He will. Verse 17 and 18. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Immediately after her blessing arrives, she's robbed of her most precious possession, her son. And immediately within that, Satan puts upon her condemnation. This is because of your sin. This is your problem. You caused this. Rather than Satan caused this. He puts it all back on her, and she begins to believe that, and she's asking Elijah, "But why? What did I do? Is this because of my wrong living?" And if we're not careful, we'll get a blessing from God, and immediately Satan jumps on us and attacks us. And if we're not careful, we become the bad guy. And we start condemning ourselves rather than enjoying the blessing of the Lord and the provision in our lives, rather than looking to Him for our answers. We don't have to accept what the devil places into our lives. We don't have to accept it. But we can. We can invite it in. But we don't have to accept it. Verse 19 through 21. "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." So the last part of this story we want to remember is expect restoration. Our God is a God of restoration from the beginning of time to current date, and you look into our future to heaven and eternity, God is a God of restoration. That's why when we get to heaven, we get a new body, not this broken, achy, hurting thing that makes us want to go like this, or however we feel on that particular day. But God is a God of restoration. God wants to restore us. Unless we reach out for that, unless we accept that, rather than the tragedy, we can live in that place of darkness and aloneness and become hard and bitter soil and hard to plant in and unusable and even toxic to where it kills seed when it's planted. Or we can be that yielded soil that receives the seed, that nourishes it, that attracts water to it, to make it grow and develop. But we have to simply submit. So some seeds we want to plant today out of this story. The seed we want to plant is generosity. This woman was generous with her very last meal. How many of us, well, Larry likes roast beef sandwiches. How many of us would share our roast beef sandwich with someone, even if we have 4 more in the bag? Anyone? No one. A few of us. Of course we would, maybe. Depends on how hungry I am. and if it has cheddar cheese on it. But the seed we plant into our lives is generosity, because we cannot outgive the Lord. If we look at our bank account, we look at our employee or our employer or our business, to where our help comes from, then there's a limit to that. There's an end to that. But if we look to God and say, God, your word says you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, not mine, not yours, but his, then we plant that seed of generosity and it begins to grow and we become very generous. And sometimes God asks us to be very generous. And we look at it and go, that's a lot, God. You want me to give that away? We had a speaker here once, and God asked Kathleen and I to give $1,000 in the offering for that speaker. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't even really care for the guy in the physical nature. And I'm like, seriously, God? That's a lot of money. Like, who has $1,000 laying around to give an offering? And so the next night came around and I felt it again as the guy was speaking. I'm like, I don't really want to do this, God. You know, hard, untillable soil. And the third night come around to the conference he was doing and I felt it very strongly again. And finally yielded myself. And we scraped up $1,000 and put in the offering for the guy. And I haven't seen him since or talked to him. I don't know what God used it for in his ministry. But God asked me to give it. So we gave it. There was another conference we were at. I really liked the guy and wanted to be really generous. I wanted to give him a bunch of money or as much as I could. And God said, no, it's not your time to give. I was like, but I want to, God. He says, no. So I can give anyway, or I can be obedient to what God's asking of me in the moment. That's where the difference is. It's not just doing it because we did it once. It's doing it because God asked us to do it. And being obedient in that moment. Because the first time I had to give $1,000, it was a very big sacrifice. The second time I could have done it easily, but God didn't ask me to. He asked me not to. So it's about the moment we're in and what God is asking of us and being obedient to that. That's when we plant that seed of generosity. So in planting that seed of generosity, our submission is of our possessions. God, all I have is yours. What do you want? What do you need? It's yours. Take it. What do you want of me? My position. Have it. Take it. What do you want me to do, God? I would love to be a janitor. God didn't call me to be a janitor. I'd trade Kathy positions in a heartbeat. She won't trade me. And she does great work too. I'd have to step up my cleaning game. Another seed we can plant into our lives is faith. I believe this gal in this story didn't know the Lord. I believe she was serving false foreign gods. But that little seed of faith of hearing the word of God spoken from Elijah, she said, I'm going to go out on a limb and try what this guy's saying. I'm going to go home and bake that last cake, because if he's wrong, he's going to get a meal and we're going to die a day sooner. But if he's right, we're going to live and we're going to have life and we're going to have life abundantly. So we have to have faith planted in our soil so that we can experience that we're willing to go out on a limb on God and say, I'm going to try what you've been asking me to do, even though it looks crazy. It looks like I'm at the end of my rope and I've given all I have to give and I can't give anymore, but I'm going to try it out. So what we have to submit is our knowledge and our intellect, because we can think up some pretty good stuff and we can see into our future and say, yeah, well, we have two deer steaks left, and then we're out of food, so we have two meals left. Unless you have my kids, then you have a half a meal left. They're meat eaters. But in our knowledge, in our intellect, we can see into that. But we have to submit that to God. Everything we know and understand, we submit it to God and say, this is all I can understand, God. But I'm going to submit that to you and apply my faith to this situation. And God, let's plant that seed and see what it can grow. Another seed we can plant into our soil is obedience. Obeying the word of God. Elijah was spot on going to Ahab and saying there's going to be no rain. He was obedient in that. He could have became arrogant and proud, said, I delivered that word and I shut up the rain and I don't care if he hunts me, he's not going to touch me. But God said, no, now go and hide because he wants to kill you. He's coming for you. And so he submitted himself under God and was obedient and went and hid at the brook. So we have to submit our will and our desire to be obedient to the will and desires of God. So plant the seed of obedience in your life. Another seed we can plant is sacrifice. It cost us something. We plant that seed in your life. God, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever for your kingdom. And of course, Jesus Christ is our example. And he said, I'm willing to sacrifice anything. I'm willing to sacrifice heaven and my authority and power to go to earth and become a human, to be born as a baby, to be raised up as a child, to walk on earth just as you and I do. Because Jesus gave all for us. He left heaven, all authority and all power, and came to earth to be one of us so that he can make a way possible for us. So if he's willing to sacrifice that, what are you willing to sacrifice for him? So what we submit is the gaining of our own empire, the gaining of our own possessions and everything we would collect around us. And we sacrifice that for the kingdom of God. Because what more could I do with this for God than I can do for myself? So it no longer becomes about self. We submit self and we plant sacrifice. And the last one we're going to look at today is loyalty. We plant loyalty into our soil. Because loyalty doesn't always need reason. It just means I'm loyal to the cause, I'm loyal to my leader, I'm loyal to my God, my Savior. Pastor Kelly and I don't always agree on everything. We don't always have the same thought process. But I'm loyal to him and he's loyal to me and we've committed to be in ministry together. And sometimes we have to speak hard things to one another, mostly him to me. He's my elder, so I have to respect him, right? But we know that we're loyal to one another. And come hell or high water, come hardship, whatever comes, we know in the end we're still friends. We know we can have those moments of discussion and still have relationship outside of that. And it's not going to inflict wound or injury because we've committed to loyalty to one another. Because we're both committed to loyalty in the kingdom of God and what he's called us here to do in the Clearwater Valley. So what we submit when we plant loyalty is our pride and our arrogance. And it's no longer about me, but it's about you. Because we need to make his name look great. So we don't back down and run whenever there's a tense situation or tense conversation, but we talk it out. We let the blood boil and we let it settle. And we work on it to make life better for those in the Clearwater Valley. So James 4:7, submit to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I can never have a sermon without a hunting story, right? just never. This is just not right. I'm not wired that way. I have two bird dogs. One is an English setter and one is a German short hair. My setter is very loyal to me. She loves me. She wants to hunt for me. She wants to find birds for me. My short hair is all about her. And she wants to find birds for her. And she wants to hunt for her. And she doesn't care who takes her out. But this particular short hair, when I was training her as a puppy, was very stubborn and unyielding. And you would have to put one shock collar on the neck and one shock collar around the middle section just to get her attention. My setter, if you raise your voice to her, she immediately responds. She can be out 200 yards and I say her name and she turns on a dime and comes back to me to check in. The short hair, I would have to get this controller and give her a buzz and get this controller and give her a buzz and start turning up the intensity until we got a response. So how much juice do you want God to give you to get your attention? Because God has a plan and a will and a direction for your life, and He's going to get your attention. And you can submit yourself and respond to the sound of His voice. Say, whoa, yes, Lord, sorry. Or you can continue running, because this particular short hair would turn her head sideways and run harder and run faster and run further. And typically you would have to turn both collars on maximum voltage to get her to respond. And she was dealing with a lot of pain to go through that. How much pain are you willing to go through to respond to the call of God on your life? How much pain are you willing to go through to be receptive to God's will for your life? Because you can be receptive and respond, or you can just keep running and endure it. But God wants our yes. He wants our yes. He could have just made heaven and put us all in it and said, here we go. But He wants you and I to make a conscious decision. Yes, Lord, I will serve You. Yes, Lord, I will sacrifice for You. Yes, Lord, I will praise and worship You. Yes, Lord, I will be open and receptive, ready for You to till and plant and grow and develop in. So which dog are you today? Are you submissive or are you rebellious? Say, it's all about me, God. Get back. My setter yesterday was going to retrieve a bird. And she watched the bird fall dead. She knew it was there. One of the other dogs beat her to the retrieve and brought it back to me. And my setter would not leave because she loves to bring me a bird back because she knows she did something for me. And she loves it. I kept calling her off and I brought her over and showed her the bird. I'm like, we got it. It's okay. And it was in this nasty rock slide, which they cut her feet up bad. And I kept calling her back and calling her back. And she kept returning to where the bird went down because she could still smell the scent there. And she's like, where's that? I smell it. I saw it. Sometimes God needs to redirect us. And we keep going back. And we keep going back. It's Arby, we're over here now. We're not over there anymore. That's taken care of. It's over. It's done. You missed the boat. But we're setting sail again. So come join us. God is very gentle if we'll be receptive. But if not, He has to keep turning up the juice. With my setter, I never have to use juice. It's just my voice. If we respond to God's voice, He always has our best interest in mind. We might not understand the situation we're in. We might not understand why He's calling us away from that which we're involved in. But He always has something better in store for us if we'll just listen and be obedient and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing. Here I come, Lord." So don't get stuck in your rut. Think, "This is the way we've always done it. This is how I always do it." Be open and receptive to God. He's ever changing us, shaping us, molding us, creating in us a new image, the image of Christ. Because as I look out here, I don't see any of you that are there yet. And as I look back here, I don't see me that's there yet. And no one's been taken up in a chariot of fire like Elijah. So I don't think we're there yet. So continue every day growing and developing in your submissiveness to Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to get ready. If you want to get out your Connect card,